Welcome back to this week's episode of Grief with Grace for Grieving Moms. This episode is going to be released on Tuesday of Thanksgiving week in the United States. So we're going into the time of year when everyone goes into doing mode and we do. We overdo things. This leads to burnout, overwhelm, and exhaustion. In the best of times, let alone in 2020, and or when you have a child or other loved one close to you in spirit. Welcome to Grief with Grace, the podcast for mothers who have children in spirit and who are now navigating life after the unimaginable. I'm your hostess, Lori Latimer, and I am one of those mothers. Each week, my guests and I will be sharing with you insights, stories, tools, and inspirations to help you find moments of joy in the everyday. Because even on the darkest days, there is joy if you know how and where to look for it. So, earlier this year, I created my free guide, Sacred Self-Care for Grieving Moms, and in it, I shared the self-care practices that I had developed over the previous 7 or 8 years that I truly believe, looking back on it from, you know, my vantage point a year after Greg passed away, they were the things that I truly believe created the foundation that supported me so much after Greg left this life. And they continue to support me now, almost 2 years into this journey. So in my conversations that I've had with other grieving mothers, many of them have said that they don't feel worthy of self-care. And this was also a theme with the women that I was working with long before Greg passed away back in my previous business when I was working with successful career women. They think that it's selfish. They feel that they don't deserve it. Many moms of children in spirit never did feel that they deserved it. And even if they did, they certainly don't after their child goes to spirit. And when I was doing this work with women before Greg passed away, self-care was a critical piece of our work because all those women were, pretty sure all of them were successful career women, and they were all overwhelmed and exhausted and burned out. And that was me before 2008, 2009. And all of those things, the burnout, the exhaustion, the overwhelm, all of those things contribute to a lot of health issues that women are having, a lot of marital problems that women are having. And I say that from my experience as a paralegal in family law for over 30 years too, because I spend a lot of time talking to clients, and I don't know that the majority of our clients are women. I've never really stopped to think about it, but it might be half and half. It might be 75% women, 25% men. I don't know. That doesn't even matter. What matters is that there's a theme, and women seem to get lost in life because of the striving and the overdoing, and then they get exhausted and burned out and overwhelmed. But what I can tell you is that self-care is not self-indulgent, not at all. What it is it's self-compassion and it's self-love. But again, so many women don't feel worthy. They don't feel they deserve it. And I have to disagree. And it's so interesting for me to even say that, because not that long ago, I wouldn't have said that because I didn't believe that I was worthy or that I deserved it. But I do know that you are worthy because you are here, you're alive, and you deserve it because if you're like me and you have a child in spirit, you've lived through a hell that no one even wants to imagine. If you don't have a child in spirit, you still deserve it. You are here. You deserve to feel good. You deserve to be pampered and nourished. Something else that I've noticed with moms who have children in spirit is that we often avoid it. We often avoid self-care as a form of self-punishment. We don't do this consciously, but working with my clients, I see this time and time again, and I'm not talking about my paralegal clients now. I'm talking about, the moms, the grieving moms that I work with. But they either avoid it altogether or they stop themselves short of having a full experience of self-care. And this need to punish ourselves is often buried so deeply that we don't realize it. But it manifests itself in our lack of self-care. So when I created that guide at the beginning of this year, I called it Sacred Self-Care for Grieving Moms because to me, self-care is sacred. These are sacred practices. I believe that our bodies are sacred vessels that are our mode of transportation in this life. But you have to take care of yourself first. You know, there's a saying that you can't pour from an empty cup, and it's so true, and it's even more true after you have a child go to spirit. Sacred self-care really takes a certain level of awareness that in today's busy society, I find is severely lacking. And for those who are in grief, it might look like saying no to someone or something one day, but the next day you might be all right doing it. Or you might be asked to do something for 3 hours and you know you can only do it for 1 hour. But you have to be very in tune with yourself on all levels to be able to know what your limits are and what you're capable of in any given moment. And I'll give you an example from my own life. I remember in the first, maybe 6 months after Greg left this life, you know, I got a lot of phone calls. And some of the calls I answered and some of the calls I didn't answer. In the past, I would have either answered out of a sense of obligation. I would have answered all of them out of a sense of obligation. Or if I hadn't answered some of them, I would have felt guilty for not answering the phone. But because I had such a strong self-care foundation before Greg left this life, I was able to do what I needed and what was best for me in each and every moment so that I could survive. So, you know, like with so many things in life, we grow, we change, things that we do shift and change. And so I recently updated that free guide. It is no longer called Sacred Self-Care for Grieving Moms. It's called 4 Steps to Connect with Your Child in Heaven. And if you would like a copy, I'll leave a link in the show notes. The practices in it are the same as in the previous version of it. But some of the explanation in the beginning of it is a little bit different. But the premise of it is the same. But again, I realized a few months ago that what's in it creates a foundation that goes far beyond what I originally saw as these self-care practices. It's still self-care, but the purpose for the self-care became more aware. I became more aware of the purpose for the self-care as months have gone by. So what I realized is that self-care is really the pathway to opening up your spiritual gifts and your connection to your child or to any other loved one in spirit. Because if you are too weighed down and stuck in the deep emotions, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, you cannot be a clear channel to opening up your spiritual connection, your spiritual gifts, your psychic gifts. We all have those abilities. But what happens is often we're so caught up in our third dimensional body and our experience and the lower level emotions that it can be difficult, if not impossible, to connect with our children or other loved ones in spirit. And I see this so often with moms who want to connect with their child and they feel that their child isn't sending them signs or that they aren't able to receive the signs. What I see is that they aren't able to be aware of the signs because they haven't set the foundation and created the connection and the opening and the space to receive the signs. And again, kind of going back to my work before with career women, women today in today's society, and I would say probably since World War II and then the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, when women really went into the workplace and then started to have such successful careers on their own, we tend to put everyone else first and we put ourselves last. I did that most of my life. I was, you know, quite often I was the main breadwinner, if not the only breadwinner in the home. I was the mom, I was the wife, I did the cooking, I did the cleaning, I did, you know, I did all the things, right? So we're all, and I know many of you are the same way, so we're already depleted. And then we're hit with this intense grief and all of the emotions that go with that. And unfortunately, most of us don't have a healthy foundation from which to rebuild. And then what happens is we go into what I call hyper-spirituality, where we only want to connect with our child. That is totally understandable. It's also totally doable. But to be able to do that, we need a proper, healthy foundation. And again, that's what I find is lacking with most women. So why do we so often avoid self-care, or why do we shortchange ourselves? We'll go partway and then we'll stop. It's like we have this upper limit, we hit an upper limit, and then I can do this much, but I can't go above that. It's kind of like the glass ceiling in careers, right? Well, there are several reasons for this, and I'll just touch on a couple of them. The first one that I see so often with women is guilt. We tend, as mothers, we tend to feel such guilt because our child is no longer in this physical life, regardless of the manner of their passing. And again, I'll just give you a couple quick examples from my own life. I remember Greg passed away in January of 2019. And I remember a few days later, it got cold, and I remember feeling guilty that I could put a coat on and be warm. I felt like I deserved to be cold because my child was no longer here. I also remember the first time I was actually hungry, and I don't remember how long after Greg passed away this happened, but I remember the first time I was actually hungry, and I felt guilty that I was hungry, like I didn't deserve to be hungry or to feed myself properly because my child wasn't here anymore. I mean, you know, on a logical level, it makes no sense, but when you're in that kind of grief, there's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And I know that if you're listening to this and you've had these kind of experiences, you have your own stories like that because many of you have shared them with me. But guilt is a strong reason that we don't allow ourselves to engage in self-care. Another reason, and this more goes back to when I was working with successful career women before, but time. We think we don't have time. What I can tell you, both from my own experience and from all the women that I worked with in the past, is that self-care actually helps open up more time and space in our lives. It defies logic. It doesn't make sense on a logical level. Your left brain is going to want to argue with me about it, but it's really magical that way. So in this Sacred Self-Care Guide, which again, I have revised, I give you several ideas for self-care possibilities for each, what I called in the first version, I called it pillars of wellness. I now call them pillars of connection because I realized that that's what they are. They are the support system that allow you to connect more easily with your child or to deepen your connection with your child. So the four pillars are the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So I'm going to give you one example from each pillar, and then I'm going to give you a way that you can, that'll cover all four pillars. And I also have a special offer for you. So the first pillar, physical. One of the best ways to create a solid foundation on your in your physical body is body work. So this includes things like chiropractic, therapeutic massage, Reiki, which is a Japanese form of energy healing, acupuncture, body brushing. All of these things help to move the emotions in your physical body. Another one is, and this isn't in the guide, but this is something that I've been researching recently and reading about. It's lymphatic drainage massage. And what that does is it helps support your lymphatic system. I'm going to use an example from my own life from several years ago to show how all of these, how I used these different things to heal something that I experienced. Back in December of 2013, I developed something called a frozen shoulder in my right shoulder. I had never even heard of a frozen shoulder before. I used a combination of, from the physical pillar, I used Network Chiropractic. Shout out to my amazing energy healer chiropractor here in Atlanta, Dr. Alan Katz. I also did therapeutic massage with my massage therapist, Sharon Beck, here in Atlanta. I tried acupuncture. I'll be honest, acupuncture did not seem to work to help, but I may not have done it long enough. I may have stopped too soon. Again, that goes back to the upper limit thing, right? So those were the things that I used. And I will tell you that I did heal that frozen shoulder completely. And then a year and a half later, in August of 2015, I couldn't believe it, but then I developed a frozen shoulder in the left shoulder. So I did all the same things again. I healed both. I now have complete range of motion in both shoulders with no surgery, no drugs, nothing but these modalities that I'm going to share with you. So let's talk about the mental pillar. One of the techniques that really helps with supporting the mental pillar is journaling. One of the best ways to journal is just do a brain dump of everything that's bothering you or weighing on your mind or causing you mental distress or anguish. What this does is it relieves your brain from the constant ruminating and overprocessing that we all tend to do. So cultivating a daily journal practice was incredibly beneficial to me, both in healing my frozen shoulders and then again when Greg passed away. Writing about your thoughts and your feelings has been scientifically proven to help reduce things like anxiety and depression. And it's a safe thing to do because you can write and then you can throw it away and nobody will ever read what you wrote. One of the ways that I did it when I was healing my frozen shoulders was that was super helpful was I set an intention before I started journaling, and then I asked a question. I wrote the question at the top of the piece of paper, and then I just let the words flow. I set the intention that whatever I was meant to release, whatever I was meant to be made aware of through that journaling session would flow through me onto the paper. All right, moving on to the emotional pillar. This one is interesting because it can help support all four pillars, but it's to give yourself space. One powerful way to do this is to declutter your life in all areas. I am doing a huge physical decluttering of my home right now, but you can declutter your life mentally and you know, in all areas of life. But, you know, what I find is that many of us get busy as a way to distract from feeling our emotions. It's like if we don't have free time and space in our lives, then we don't have to deal with our feelings and our emotions. What I can tell you is that suppressing or repressing our emotions leads to illness on all levels. Okay. And then for the spiritual pillar, meditation. And I know that many people often avoid this because we think we can't turn off our thoughts, or we think we're doing it wrong, or we can't focus, or whatever it might be. So a way to meditate without just sitting still, if you can't do that, is to do a walking meditation. Or there are so many apps now. There's Insight Timer, there's Calm, there's I can't think of the others off the top of my head, but there are so many apps that help you with meditation. Some of them have music to them. Some of them are guided visualizations where someone's talking you through the meditation. Or another thing, just simply sit with your eyes closed for 2 minutes. Anyone can sit for 2 minutes with their eyes closed. And then focus on your breathing during those 2 minutes. So just focus on breathing in and breathing out. Inhale, exhale. And if you think your mind is just going to chatter, choose a word to breathe in and out to. So it might be something like peace or love. So as you breathe in, just think of the word love. As you breathe out, think of the word love. You know, I think that a lot of people have a misperception of what meditation is. They think meditation is when you sit still for, you know, however long you're going to sit there and you have no thoughts go through your mind. That's not realistic. Meditation is really about quieting your mind and getting control of your thoughts. So when something comes to mind, just let it flow through your mind. Don't stop and ponder on it and beat yourself up for, oh my gosh, I messed up my meditation. I had this thought. No, just let the thought float by without criticizing it, without judging it, and without thinking that you did it wrong. But again, you have to feel that you deserve the time and energy for self-care. And then, you know, going back to something I said earlier about self-punishment, many of us don't feel deserving in the best of times, let alone if our child is no longer here, or a parent, or a spouse, or anyone, you know, anything that's causing you grief, a breakup. You know, we have these funny ways of punishing ourselves. So to ascend or to connect with our children, we have to be grounded in this physical life. And too many of us get caught up in the fourth dimension, which is the mental aspect. We try to think our way to our connection to our child. That's that hyper-spirituality where we want to bypass our physical third dimensional experience and just go straight to connecting with our child. And that's not a criticism. It's normal to do that. You want to find your child. You want to have a connection and know that they're still there and they're okay. And when we do this, it's an indication that we're growing. But too many of us, again, want to skip a lot of the other steps. And so I want to give you a secret to self-care. Self-care needs to be very clear and intentional, and it needs to be a conscious choice, not a habit, not some routine thing that you do automatically because you have an appointment every 2 weeks to get your nails done. No. It's not another thing on your to-do list. It's something you set an intention for every time you choose to do something to care for your body on a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual level. So I said I'd give you one thing that I do that supports all four of the pillars that I just talked about, and that one thing is breath work. Several years ago, I realized that I was either taking very short, shallow breaths, or I was even holding my breath for no apparent reason. I mean, this was years before Greg passed away, so it had nothing to do with that. But what happens when we do that, and most people do, they take very short, shallow breaths, and they hold their breath. That constricts us on all four pillars. And then that makes our connection more challenging, because to connect with spirit, with our higher selves, we have to be a clear channel. We have to be able to raise our vibration. If our breath is short and shallow, if we're holding our breath, if we're blocked in any of the pillars, it's going to make it much more difficult to connect with our child or anyone else in spirit. So let me talk a little bit about breath work. I know I did an episode early on with my friend Lindsay Morlock, and we talked about breath work. But I have something special for you today, so I want to talk about it again. Breathwork is an active meditation. You aren't just sitting there. You're actively participating in this experience. And it's an ancient Eastern breathing technique that really helps to get you out of your mind. So it helps to quiet your egoic mind, and it really gets you into your heart and your body. And because it does that, it assists you in connecting with your own inner wisdom and guidance. And then it helps shift blocks on a cellular level. So it can help you process things that are stuck in your body. So emotions like trauma, anxiety, depression, anger, sadness. It can help move physical, or it can help move things that are manifesting physically, like with my shoulder issues a few years ago. Because emotions that get suppressed or repressed end up manifesting in physical illness or ailments, like my frozen shoulders. Breathwork also helps you open up space in all four pillars so that you're able to have powerful transformational healing occur. What you're doing is you're moving energy in all four pillars. In one session, in one experience, some of the healing that can happen is absolutely miraculous. I've experienced it myself, and I've seen it with people I've worked with. So I created a very special Black Friday offer for you, and I'm inviting you to experience this powerful, it's powerful, yet it's a really gentle healing modality. And I can do this for anyone, anywhere, because I do it online using Zoom video. And let me say that this is available for anyone. This is not just for grieving moms, because this can help anyone, male, female, whatever, wherever you're at in life. So don't tune me out thinking this is just for grieving moms, because it's not. I've used this with some of my other clients who are not grieving moms. But breathwork is really magical and powerful, and it takes you to a place of surrender that you're not usually able to access. I know a lot of people have trouble meditating. They've never been able to meditate. They think they can't meditate. This transcends all of that because it gets you out of your head in a way that isn't usually accessible during regular meditation. And I'll be honest with you, in the first probably 6 to 8 months after Greg passed away, I had a hard time meditating. And breath work really helped me move past that and, again, transcend that. It's very sacred work. So for Black Friday, what I'm doing is I'm giving you two sessions for the price of one. I normally charge $111 per session, and a session usually lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. But now through midnight on Cyber Monday, so only until midnight on Monday, November 30th of 2020, you can receive two sessions for $111. There is one caveat to this. You have to use both sessions before January 31st of 2021. But that's 2 months. You have 2 months to use two sessions. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it is tinyurl.com/breathwork2020. So it's tinyurl.com/breathwork2020. The number's 2020. Again, the link will be in the show notes. But as I was creating this, I wanted to do something that would help really prepare you for 2021, for the upcoming new year, on all levels. And this was the most beautiful and powerful way that I felt I could do that. You know, 2020 has been heavy for everyone. And if you're grieving, 2020 has been even more difficult. I know that some of you listening have lost loved ones this year. I lost a very dear friend this year. Actually, I've lost more than one dear friend this year, both people I went to high school with. It's been less than 2 years since Greg left this life. I know that there are a lot of women listening whose children went to heaven either this year or last year, or, you know, right around 2 years ago, within the past 2 years or so. I know there are other people listening who have parents in spirit. We're all grieving something, and I believe that 2020 has magnified and amplified everyone's grief. So while I cannot promise any specific results, I can promise that you will be more connected to your mind and body and to spirit, to your higher self. And that helps to open you up to a deeper level of connection with your child or any other loved one in spirit. And I do need to say that breath work is not a substitute for professional medical advice or diagnosis or treatment. So if you have any health concerns, we can talk about those, or you should talk to your healthcare provider. Again, that link is tinyurl.com/breathwork2020. I look forward to working with you and sharing this powerful healing work with you. But again, this offer will expire at midnight on Monday, November 30th. This episode is going to go live on Tuesday, November 24th. So you will have until the following Monday at midnight. And the reason that I'm leaving this offer open beyond Black Friday through midnight on Cyber Monday is because November 30th is my littlest grandson's second birthday. And so originally I was going to have this expire at midnight on Black Friday. And then I thought, no, that Monday is his birthday. And it just felt right to leave it open through then. So to those of you in the United States, I wish you and your families a peaceful and happy Thanksgiving. And until next week, I am sending you much love and grace. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Grief with Grace podcast. Be sure to join our Facebook community and follow me on Instagram at @Lori_Latimer. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you receive a reminder when new episodes are uploaded. And please leave a rating and review so I can continue to bring you fresh new content each week. If you find this podcast valuable, and I hope you do, please be sure to share it with a mom who could use a little extra support. Until next week, I invite you to find a moment of joy today and every day.